Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Foods and Inns Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Dipali Kumari. Thank you, and over to you.
Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Orient Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining the Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of Foods and Inns Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Milind Dalal, Managing Director, Mr. Molloy Saha, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. So, without any further delay, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening. This is Anand here, the CFO at Foods and Inns. We have with us Mr. Molloy, who is the CEO, as well as Mr. Milind Dalal, who is the MD at the company. Thank you for joining us today. Q3 FY26 was a very steady quarter operationally, marked by stable volumes and continued progress across our growth platforms. While overall sales tonnage in Q3 remained flat, this was largely due to deferred call-offs from U.S. customers amid tariff-related uncertainty. Average realizations were lower on a year-on-year basis, reflecting sales from inventory produced during 2025 crop season at significantly lower raw material costs. As highlighted earlier, our pricing continues to remain a pure pass-through of raw material movements, with no structural impact on absolute gross margins. Across our core fruit and vegetable pulping business, export demand for mango products remained strong, supported by onboarding of new customers. Early indicators of favorable Sodapuri flowering suggest continued softness in raw material prices in the upcoming season, enhancing India's competitiveness versus other countries. In tomatoes, crop procurement commenced with a slight delay compared to prior years due to seasonal factors and is progressing as of now. Our frozen food business continues to demonstrate strong growth momentum, with Q3 volumes up approximately 35% YoY and nine-month FY26 volumes up around 37% on a YoY basis. Improved realizations were driven by a higher contribution from value-added products in the frozen category, and during the quarter, we commenced supplies to two large financially strong airline customers. We remain optimistic on sustained global demand growth in this particular category. In line with our focus on building scalable and differentiated platforms, we have initiated a spray drying capacity expansion of 120 metric tons per annum and are progressing on the international expansion in Tetra Rikart with improving capacity utilization and repeat orders, and are strengthening our brands through targeted marketing and digital initiatives. Alongside this, investments in automation, as well as solar energy at our Wankhal and Gonde plants and our Pectin project, continue to reinforce our focus on efficiency, sustainability, and long-term value creation. Finally, our FY25 incentive claim has been submitted to the Ministry of Food Processing with all required documentation completed before December of 2025, and as we speak, we are awaiting disbursement at any point of time. It could be either tomorrow, the next week, or probably in a month's time that we expect. Overall, we remain focused on disciplined execution, cost efficiency, and leveraging structural tailwinds across our key verticals to drive sustainable and profitable growth. With that, we'll be happy to walk you through the details and take your suggestions. The forum may be open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Anandji. Very good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Good evening.
Yeah. So just want to get some clarification on Q3 flat volumes. So could you please tell me what percentage of revenue is coming from the U.S., and what kind of tariff was earlier in exporting to the U.S., and what is the current status?
U.S. volume overall annual basis approximately 10%-12%, but overall we see the business is growing. In last one year it has grown, and though due to the tariff it is temporarily paused and again it started, and it's likely to increase because we are getting good traction on the frozen category business from U.S.
So was there any tariff on our products we are exporting to the U.S. because of the reciprocal tariff earlier?
It was at the peak time, it was 50%, because including the additional tariff on Russian oil, 25%. So it is 50% now. Mango pulp had reduced to 25%, but frozen category still continuing 50%, but with the recent development, likely to be 18% or 19%, but that formal notification yet to receive.
So just to clarify and add more on this, we were not impacted with our orders. It's just that the call-offs were slightly slower, basically because there was lack of clarity, because the government of U.S. has actually now promised some tariff refund to the importers there as such. So there was some slowness to that, but most of our customers were happy to actually, not happy, but then they were willing to actually take some hit at their side so that the business could continue.
Okay, sir. And sir, we are expecting a good call-off in Q3 as per our last call. So what is the status for going forward in respect of call-offs?
So in terms of the local demand, Q4 and Q1 is supposed to be the best that happened historically, and we are in line with that, as we actually have seen in the month of January and February.
Sir, could you please tell me any guidance in the absolute EBITDA and the gross profit in the next two years, as our raw material the cost has been reduced and our absolute margin is fixed? So can you please guide, make any guidance on absolute number of gross profit in growth terms?
Thank you that you are actually, first of all, asking for the absolute number, but, I mean, at least, I understand that you've understood our business right. But having said that, there is no guidance that we want to stick to this, but, rest assured, as much as you want, incremental, EBITDA and gross margins on an absolute basis, that is a target that we have internally to achieve. And, I mean, all of us are in our jobs just to have that incremental number in. So, you can be rest assured that, those are decent, targets that we have.
Our endeavor would be definitely to-
Could you give any guidance on your target that would be very useful for us to track?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
As you said, you have a target to achieve in absolute terms, so could you please give me the absolute or the target that you have so that we could track on that basis?
We don't want to give a public guidance, that's the only thing, so.
Anand, I would just say that we, the team, will have to endeavor to do better than the current EBITDA margin.
Margin, absolute. Absolute.
Absolute, yeah. Sir, yeah.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you very much for answering my question.
We are internally looking at anywhere between 10%-15% growth on EBITDA as well as gross margin on a minimum basis, on a year-on-year basis. That's the internal target that we have, but that's not a guidance, please.
10%-15% in EBITDA and 20% in what?
I said around 10%-15% in both gross as well as EBITDA is the internal target, not the margin, the growth, absolute EBITDA and the-
That I understood, sir. I'm talking to in the absolute term, that you are targeting 10-15 in EBITDA and gross, right?
Correct. Correct. No, I'm sure you have understood because you have understood, you've asked me the right question. Just for the clarity of others, I'm just repeating this. That's it, Kaushal.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Venkatesh Ranganathan from Banana Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Venkatesh Rangathan from Banana Capital, please proceed with your question.
Namaste. Hamara awaaz aa raha hai?
Yes, aa raha hai. Namaste.
Sir, aap log abhi kuch kar rahe ho in terms of strategic partnership kahin pe kisi ke saath?
Venkatesh ji, we always keep on exploring all these options, and a lot of things are actually going on in the company with respect to exploring options. But unfortunately, till the deal is signed, we might not be able to tell you anything on it.
देखिए ये कोई भी आप लोग के कस्टमर लिस्ट में आप दुबई में किसको सप्लाई करते हो? यूएई में मेजर कस्टमर है?
लखनौर इज वी सेल टू लखनौर फॉर अवर बैंगोपाल एंड वी हैव लॉट ऑफ अदर रिटेल ट्रेडर्स. We have agents who are now working with the various
any
airlines.
MNC companies? Any MNC companies or any listed group that you supply to in the UAE?
Listed in, we have MNC companies in India whom we sell to, like Unilever, Nestle, etc. But Middle East, we see tremendous scope in our frozen foods and Tetra Ricard and other areas. Lucknow, of course, has been our client for over 45 years.
And Mr. Venkatesh, we are exploring with large retailers based out of Middle East as such. I wouldn't want to name them as of now. Once the deal is signed, probably you might be able to know about it.
When is that deal expected to be signed? Are you in talks to sign any deal?
Sir, it is not one
timeline signed for that.
Signed.
Sir, as Mr. Anand communicated, sir, for any company, we look for all the better opportunity. Many things we are working on it. At appropriate time, I'm sure the company will be able to convey all the good news with our shareholders.
Yeah. So, Mr. Venkateshan, as I already told in the opening remarks as well as in the investor presentation, that we have already signed up with two large financially sound airlines. So, in tune with that, we are actually working on some other, strategic partnerships as such. Hopefully, everything should be in place and we will be able to announce.
Airlines are from Gulf region or are they from the US region?
We don't want to give any details as of now due to, competition data. We don't want our competitors to go there as of now. We have cracked a few airlines is all that we can tell you.
And sir, ये US के tariff अपने business को affect किया, तो ये कितना affect किया? मतलब पहले कितने टका duty लगता था और अभी कितना टका change हुआ? What is the percentage terms?
Venkatesh ji, this question was asked by your previous by the previous caller. I would request
you to. I'm sorry, I might have joined late, so that is why I am asking you.
Just repeat to you, sir. There is no cancellation of any order. In fact, order volume and value is increased compared to last year. However, due to this non-clarity on the tariff situation, temporarily customer had paused the dispatch. But
I'm
all
asking the percentage difference. I don't know if you got my question right. I'm asking you the percentage difference. Before tariff it was how much? And after tariff it will be how much? What is the percentage difference in both the way?
Duty you are talking about? It's duty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earlier it was, before the tariff, it was 0.06%. When the tariff...
That is in quarter two you are talking or quarter one?
Quarter one.
Prior to Trump having announced...
Trump having the tariff.
The peak tariffs were 50%. Now we will be down between 18 to 25%. But final clarity would come. General guidance given by the Trade Department, India and the US says it would be around 18%. Having said that, our clients were accepting at 50% as well, but with a delayed call-off. Now, with things getting little better and the possibility of them getting a refund and all that, our orders which were put on hold are now likely to be dispatched soon enough.
And our total market share out of the revenue top line that we were doing, what is the US related revenue?
Around 12%.
Oh, only 12%?
Yes.
Okay, and sir, what about tomatoes? You said they are coming with the late season, so we did not make the required sales in the this quarter results. Will that be translated into the sales in the quarter four results?
Partly yes, and partly
because quarter four already 45 days are over, and another 45 days are pending. So how much was the order of which is executed in the 45 days, and how much will be executed in the next 45 days?
A very
difficult total order.
Very difficult question you have asked, because as
okay, tell me what is the total order of tomato that we have?
Sir, already since the season is going on, order negotiation is under process, and we are
as on date while we are speaking, how much order you have?
Sir, we won't be able to give absolute figure. Again, I am highlighting.
Sir, how can you not give, sir? We are the shareholder. You are putting all disastrous results from many quarters. According to me, I am not getting any value appreciation. When I am asking you a question, you say we cannot tell you. This is not how a conference
works. You are not letting him answer the question and you are ready like doing it. Just have patience. Let him answer and then have a counter question. Kindly don't interrupt.
He's saying I cannot give. I cannot give. What is this? I cannot give.
This is the answer.
Okay.
How much is the revenue?
Revenue till three quarters, we are able to get around 65 crore from tomato paste and other tomato related product. And we are able to, I believe that if we can able to produce, now we have started, it can increase by another, say 20%. But our overall order position is much higher than that, and tomato
so what
product
is the order position? What is the balance order position as on date we are talking, or as for the latest that
if you don't allow me to talk, then how can you continuously you are pausing me and asking? Let me allow, na, if you have some patience, na, you just allow me finish and then you ask me. I am very happy to give all your answers, sir.
No, not necessary, Venkatesh. If you're going to talk so rudely, we don't need to necessarily give you answers. It's your choice to either be invested in the company or not. It's about our strategy to actually say as to what we need to do with our business and what information is public and not public. So I don't expect you to actually speak to us in this manner.
You have been saying, I cannot say. And you see your own performance from past 2 years, 3 years. You will come to know. And you've been invested for so long, you will also come to know.
We understand what we are doing. There are certain times, there are problems in certain businesses because of certain different reasons. Not everything can be explained to a shareholder, and it is not necessary to explain everything to a shareholder.
I just ask you the tomato order that you have as on date. That's all.
Sir, again, I am repeating the tomato order. I told you that already we have, how much we have sold in three quarters and what is the likely to happen in next quarter also. Already I answered this. Now you are asking the tomato, what is the thing? I told you that everything is under negotiation because during the processing time, negotiation is always, there will be negotiation, and once the season is over, then the final order always crystallized and signed. So unless both the parties sign the contract, it will not be a right for my side to give you the figure. Because that is the industry's practice. Industry never get order during the season time. When the season is over, then only all the orders get crystallized. Because this is a agricultural commodities, pricing of raw material to be fixed once the season is over. And that's the standard practice, sir.
So my question was, again I'll repeat it, what is the balance order as on date that you have in hand, which I still have not received a reply to?
I just told you, sir. We have already have around 60-65 crore, and this quarter we will be able to do another 20%. I already gave this answer to you.
Okay, I'm sorry, I did not hear that. So my understanding is 65 crore
Mr.
is the balance order that we have to execute, right?
Mr. Venkatesh, you can
right?
join
this
the queue.
This is the current question going on. I just want the clarity. Please don't cut me here.
Sir, if you allow me to tell, I'll tell you anyway. Continue. Okay, I think something is telling. Tell me, sir. Any other thing from your side?
Yeah, so my understanding is 65 crore is the unfinished order we have in hand for tomatoes. Am I right? Is my understanding correct?
Sir, your understanding is wrong.
Okay,
we have already sold worth 65 crores, Mr. Venkatesh. Why are you unnecessarily being aggressive into it? This is a commodity, and we cannot dictate to nature that what tomato or what date we will get. our customers and we will sit together. Will you let me finish now? Please do not interrupt me. You ask the question, you better have the patience to listen as well. So our CEO has told you that as in our Coca-Cola contract with for mangoes, it is at the end of the season that the final contract and the final pricing is done. He has told you 65 crores has already been executed and 20% more is expected. Now, if the procurement can happen more, there would be further order book positions. If there is a delay in it, there would be an overflow to next year.
Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
I'm done with my questions.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Co. Please go ahead.
Namaskar team. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah, hi. You are audible.
Sir, firstly, if you could just explain to us the seasonality I expect on a quarterly basis on the pertaining to the nature of the business, and then also to the debt levels that we are carrying. I think so our finance cost payment is to the tune of 11 to 13 crore on a quarterly basis. However, there has been a significant reduction from this number for December 24 and 25. So these are my first two questions.
Hi. With respect to the interest cost reduction, I'll take that answer first. I'll take that question first, sorry. That there was a basis point reduction that the RBI actually did around 100 to 125 basis points. So that benefit has actually come on to us. So if you see on a YOY basis, the interest cost has come down. But with respect to the long-term debt, we had actually paid down around 20 odd crores as compared to what it was in the last year same quarter. So all in all, that's where the mix has actually changed and the interest cost has actually come down. So if I've answered this question right, and if you've understood, then probably I'll move on to the next.
So then you provide me with the net debt number, sir, whether between breakup of both long-term and the working capital requirement.
Okay, just a second. As of now, my total debt is around 460 crores approximately. Okay. All long-term and short-term put together.
Long-term will be around 90?
No, long-term is only around 50.
50.
Yeah.
So long-term is 50 crores.
Correct.
And the balance is our working capital requirement, short term.
That's right. So it increased from 360 to 410 recently. It is basically because of the incremental production in tomato and all that we have actually done and the other inventory which is still there in the books.
Okay, sir. Then you please now explain the seasonal aspect of the business and how should investors look for our performance on a quarterly basis with the peak and the lean quarters.
Okay.
Quarterly is going to be very difficult because basically mango is a summer fruit and production happens in summer, and basically our clientele is a juice manufacturer, and generally, especially in India, not necessarily around the world, but in India, it's a summer drink and not necessarily a winter drink. So our typical contract goes over 15 to 18 months and the call-offs do happen. Production has to happen around summer, but there is extended summer, there is short summer, and generally the pattern is anywhere from April to July is the time. As far as tomatoes are concerned, there are two seasons. And it's more in the colder times like winter, which is it should have started by end December, was slightly delayed and has started in early February. Having said that, quarter to quarter is not a great way. Yes, we have to come up with our quarter to quarter performance and report. But year to year, we are almost comparable by way of our production, by way of our sales. If anything, Molloy or Anand want to add.
Anand, if you want to add then. So, with respect to the seasonality of the business, basically what you need to understand is that since the raw material is available only 3 months of a year,
and our production needs to be done. So you cannot look at this business typically on a quarter-on-quarter basis. You have to look at it as to what the company is doing on a year-long basis. So a lot of our contracts are more than a year long. Say, example, Coke and all that we actually deal with have a 15 to 17 month contract window that we actually have. So ideally, it's that contract period that you have to see to actually assess the business. But having said that, it's very difficult to assess it that way. So it's the year-on-year absolute growth in gross profit, absolute growth in EBITDA that you should actually track to see as to how the business is doing. So that's the best way for any analyst to track this business.
Just to get to that point, sir, then what factors have alluded to the drop in profitability and the revenue for the 9 months, if we compare the 9 months performance?
Sorry, can you just repeat the question?
I am pointing towards, definitely, sir. For the 9 months ending 31st December 25, our revenue has been to the tune of 580 crore, which was 610 crore for the previous year, where the profitability has taken a toll from, it has dipped from 20 crore to 12 crore. There has been savings in front of for finance cost also, but then also the profitability is lower. So what explains these dips in the business, the turnover as well as profitability for the 9 months?
Okay, so the standalone numbers, if you were to actually see the gross profit.
Console number, sir.
I'm just talking about the main business first, and then we can actually come to the console if you want. So it's important to understand the main business, right? So that's why I'm stressing on the standalone numbers for now. So if you see the standalone numbers, the gross profit has actually increased from 216 crores to 235 crores. So there has been a 8.7% increase in the gross profit on a 9 month basis. But you are right in actually saying that the EBITDA has actually gone down, wherein it is down by around 10 odd crores in the 9 month basis. So a part of it, a large part of it can be explained by the M2M margin, that's the M2M forex loss that we actually incurred, wherein we had hedged the exports that we had actually done at a certain rate, and because of the depreciation in rupee, that has actually hit our mark to market in the business. So that's necessarily not a cash loss in the business, but then since the exchange is booked, we receive only that much of inflows, right? So that's what has actually happened. So optically, that's looking like a loss. So that's one part of it. The other part has also been because of the freight-related things that have actually happened and the other operational expenses that have increased. But having said that, come Q4, I think we should be in a much better position on the EBITDA basis with a growth as compared to what it was last year. That's something that you can take for granted.
So now, can you give the color for the control part? I am trying to make sense. When we are valuing the company, we are always looking this as a consolidated entity.
Perfect. You need to understand is that between the standalone and the console, it's only a difference of revenue of on a full year basis around 22-23 crores because Kusum is the business that actually adds on to the console, right, as of now. And that business is slightly at an EBITDA loss as we speak today, basically because we are actually expanding our footprint geographically and we are trying to invest into the brand, Kusum as such. So I deliberately excluded that just so that you could understand the core business as well as the Kusum business. I mean, if you were to just understand that.
Sir, I got your point there, but a small point and then I may join the queue is that I'm trying to just work out that on a top line decrease of say from 609 to 580, the profitability has gone down by 8 crore. So just if you could just give that mix, that what has attributed to this decline, and then on a comparable basis for the year as a whole, last year we have done closer to 50 crore of profit PBT number. So
right.
Taking this performance, this gap is going to continue for this financial year. So for this year, we are not expecting any growth on the profitability.
No, we are. But you can expect the gap to be closed and be bettered by Q4 is all that I'm trying to say, because what is there in that 50 crores is basically the PLI income as well.
So the PLI income right. is going to be coming, and our PLI incentives are at a much higher number than what it was last year. That's number one. Number two, our Q4 is supposed to be one of our stellar quarters. Historically, that's been how the business has actually performed. So, MS, if you need to add something.
That's 2 million. I think, sir, we'll be able to, what you told, that last year, total profit before tax is around 52 crores, I believe. And though this year revenue is a challenge because our realization is lower compared to earlier years, but we are expecting a higher volume if we consider the projected sale of Q4. So, overall, there will be a higher volume, but revenue will be under stress due to the lower utilization, but profitability will be maintained and likely to be better than last year.
Okay. And the last point on the PLI front, sir, what is the number that we have factored for the last financial year, and what should be factored for the current year, FY26? March 26, how much are we factoring in terms of PLI?
The PLI amount for the current year, last year we have given around 25 crore. This year we have submitted our application. It is under process. So today we may not be able to give the exact figure. But we believe that based on our sales and all these things, it will be similar like last year, maybe little higher than last year.
Yes, higher than last year is what the number is. We don't want to confirm on the number because it is all government related. So we have applied for a certain number. We are 99% hopeful that that should be the number that we should get. So,
okay. And last year's amount we have received, sir, 25 crore? FY25?
Correct.
Sir, not in FY21, that was for FY24.
Yes, that was for FY24 received in FY25.
Okay. And the figure for 25 crore that we have factored for March 25, that money has been received by us or that is still pending?
It has.
Yeah, we approve on actual basis. On cash receipt basis.
Come again, sir.
We book the income in P&L. Since it's a government related thing, we book that on actual receipt basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, sir, out of the 50 crore long-term debt, can you please put forward the reasons for which the long-term debt is being there, for what kind of capacity addition or product mix change we are anticipating? How is this money going to be utilized?
Sorry, the long-term debt that actually we have actually repaid around 20 odd crores.
No, 50 crore for what purpose? It's there.
So the so basically we are getting incentives under the PLI, right? So we have invested under the PLI as well as outside the PLI, for the growth of the business as such. So that's something that we have been talking about in all the previous investor con calls that we have actually had. So it was for that related capex that we have done.
Sir, I again missed it sometime. My manager's line was not. I could not hear you out completely. Can you come again once again?
I'm saying about that the long-term debt was actually taken for the capex that we had done for the incentives that we are receiving under PLI. So there were certain commitments that were done. If you see our investor presentations, so the greenfield plants have actually been given. If you were to even see the annual report, the greenfield plants at Wankel is one of the capex that we actually did, apart from a few brownfield capex that we did at Gunde for the spray drying plant, for the cold room, for the frozen food factory and all those things. So all of it is a part of that PLI, apart from which non-PLI investments was the tomato processing plant that actually was commissioned around November of 2024 as such. So all the capex was actually a part of the 50 crore long-term loan that you actually see.
Okay, and last point is, sir, then what is precisely our cost of fund? I'm just trying to make sense that we paid 58 crore as the finance cost on a consolidated basis for March 25. This year would be citing so on the lower side since 9 months number is 36. So are other factors also that has been embedded in this finance cost? Any bank charges or something more than the working capital and the long-term finance cost that is being embedded in this number, 58 crore?
Yeah, the bank charges, whatever is a part of that is actually a part of this interest cost.
Yeah, entire bank-related cost, everything comes in this.
So what is the blended cost of fund then and our current rating?
Current rating is BBB as per the CRISIL, And the current interest range is around 9.2 to 9.8% range.
And when is this rating due, sir?
April.
April 26th.
After the financial year.
Okay. Right, sir. To have better understanding post the call, sir, is there any window or medium by which we can have an interaction going ahead?
Just write a mail to us. We'll be happy to respond.
Correct, sir. Thank you, sir. And I'll join the queue.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Natasha Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. So, sir, I have a few of these questions. One is that recently that you have fraud into Hong Kong, Finland, and the Gulf region. Which of these geographies is showing the...
Not clear. Can you probably speak on a phone directly? Maybe, I don't know whether you're using a speaker or something. Or a earphone.
Am I clear now?
Yes, please come closer to this mic if you're using your mobile phone or your headset.
I'm using my phone, and which is on my ear.
Now it is better.
So in recently you have gone to the international market, right, where you have fraud into Hong Kong, Finland, and the Gulf region. Which of the geographies is showing the strongest initial traction for your B2C brands like Greentop and Madhu?
As of now, if you ask me, I think we are doing quite well in Russia.
Okay.
Middle East has started,
but it will take some more time. Hong Kong is steady. It's a steady growth, not a big growth, but yes, we launched our product, we got the repeat order, it's multiplied by 2x, but since the base is low, so it may not be a quite substantial figure. But we expecting that Hong Kong likely to be more in near future. We have added new product. Our B2C, Russia is doing quite well now. And soon we may start in US also our B2C product in Tetra Record Pack. So I think I must say that, Natasha, that Tetra Record is something is giving a very encouraging visibility for the company, not only in our own brand, but as well as a private label from USA customer, from Russian customer, from Europe customers. We see a good opportunity in near future.
Okay. So recently, your testing has been approved by the large MNCs. Right. So what is the current status of converting these approvals into commercial contracts, and what portion of the 15 crore revenue potential is expected to be realized in financial year 26?
Yes, it's a good question. Last call also we told that we have submitted our sample, and the sample is getting tested at their site, because it's a long process. As you know, this product is used in their processing very minimal quantity. So unless they complete the consumer testing, we may not be able to start the commercial supply. So as of now, from the only couple of customers, we have some visibility that in the month of March, we may get some commercial order. But major customers likely to come from the Q1 of next year. So it's a long process. It's almost 6 to 7 months process before we get the final order. So that's the concern. But this year may not be substantial revenue in our kitty. But next year onwards, we are expecting that at least 70-75% of our capacity we can able to utilize.
Okay. And sir, in the last quarter, the financial year 26, your volume growth was 35% and the addition of 2 airline customers has been done. So what is the current capacity utilization for the frozen food lines at Sinnar and Vankal?
I must say, now Vankal is a vegetable processing. Whenever vegetables are available, it's 100%. If vegetable not available, we are unable to run. But since we have installed Phankal vegetable processing, it utilized more than 65% to 70%, and we expect that it will likely to grow. And snacks line in Nasik, and Indian bread snacks, and some of the part of the vegetable in Nasik facility is fully running. In fact, we are, larger order than our capacity. So that's why we are running 3 shifts now, night shifts also working. So it's a very good moment for the frozen. And whatever report we are having and statistical report as well as customer feedback, we strongly believe this segment is likely to grow in the same pace for next 3 to 4 years across the world. So for company, I think we must very seriously look in this sector and continue to grow. And wherever we need to do tweaking of the capacity, we are looking into it as a short term, as a long term. Short term and long term both, we are looking how to increase the capacity to fulfill the commitment.
Okay. And so the last time we spoke about this tomato pulping, right, and because of some delay in tomato crop, because of the seasonal factors, so how long this delay will impact your ability to meet the, you know, more than the doubling of your market share?
Yes, as you rightly said, doubling the market, not market share, our capacity, we will be able to, I mean, targeted double, but unlikely this year we will be able to do, because already crop delayed, and then as of now, we have started getting whatever our part day requirement, and we hope to continue the same thing till April. If being agricultural commodities, we do not know, but we are quite hopeful that till April we will be getting the same pace. If we able to produce till April at the full capacity which you are doing currently, I believe that we can able to recover substantially. As of today, may not be able to tell you how much you will do, but substantially you will to cover.
Okay. That's it from my side, and thank you so much for answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinix Capital Venture Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey sir, just one follow-up on our borrowing. Like you said that currently we are having 410 crores of short-term borrowing, and as compared to the March, we have around 362 short-term borrowings, and the total borrowing prices has fallen significantly, and you have mentioned in Q1 financial 26 that the working capital requirement should be less. So I just want to know why the inventory is being increased, or why the borrowing is increased in that form.
As you know, we are more focusing on non-mango business. Non-mango business means we are focusing on guava, tomato is the big bet, then chili, garlic, ginger. These are all seasonal. During the season, we have to produce, and that same stocks we need to hold for call off for next average next 6-7 months, and other than mango. So as we produce, we need to have the stock built up, we need to have the working capital requirement. So this scenario is going to continue as and when we are diversifying our business other than mango. If there's a mango, then there's a clear graph that between April to July, maximum utilization, then from October onwards, working capital blockage likely to reduce. But if you add more non-mango business, then definitely you need more fund to produce during during the season period, and as and when call-off take place. So I believe that this cycle will be much more clear to all everybody in 2 years' time, when we have a multi-product in our kitty. So that time we have a very clear picture that we are producing season and then selling and again recovering. So you have a more visibility. As of today, as you rightly said, it is a little confusing when you are telling one way that mango price has reduced, other way working capital has increased. This is basically for the non-mango business product.
Okay. what amount of non-mango inventory do we have currently as well, inventory as of December 2025?
As of today, we are around 26% non-mango, 74% mango. But our objective is that how soon we can do mango 60%, non-mango 40%. We are all working in that direction.
But since that we have a majority of inventory coming from the mango, and the price has been just reduced significantly from 33%, it has been corrected, and the tonnage has just grew 11%. So is there, I guess there is some mismatch. I don't know why it is maybe.
No, you know, being a, as a multiple call we have communicated that mango production in the month of mid-April to July. Okay, so I'm giving example. In the we have produced mango in the year 2024 when the price is in higher side. And that stock deal we are carrying forward because as per the order of Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, it is likely to be completed by the month of June because it's a 21 months to 24 months contract. So we are still carrying forward their stocks, which is to be billed at 2024 agreed price. Now, unless that product is fully sold, you will be seeing the inventory valuation not in 100%, not in lower value. Some of the products are lying at higher value of 2024 and balancing 2025 mango, which is a lower value. That's why you are seeing this mismatch. And
so in the next year, less blockage in the working capital, right?
Pardon, sir? I could not hear you.
In the next year, like as you said, that the inventory you are carrying for actually 24. So now, which is on a higher price, but in the next year, we have the lower price of inventory. So the market would be...
Some lower price, but mango season to start in the month of April. We do not know how the price looks like. As of today, looks a good crop. But if the price goes up, again there will be inventory or high valuation. So this cyclical effect is always there in our business.
So this is not a peak that we have currently. It may rise in future as well.
It may rise, sir. But yes, I think if this quarter, we believe that till June, there is a good summer expected as per various reports we are getting from brands like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and even Unilever. If that is so, then I think we can see a very good sales till June. That will give a substantial reduction in our working capital blockage as the stocks moves out.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Kaushal, please go ahead. Mr. Shah, are you there on the line? Mr. Kaushal Shah, are you there? We'll take the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yes, sir. Sir, hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, yes, sir. Sir, this is, my question is pertaining to the Pectin project and the Tetra Ricard project. So, if you could just explain to us how much have we invested in these two verticals and what has been the contribution for 9 months and going ahead, what are the growth pillars for these two segments?
Okay. So, with respect to the investments, basically the Pectin project is around 12 to 13 crores of investment that we have actually done. And with respect to the Tetra Ricard, basically it's a 30 crore investment that we did, broken up into 24 crores for the equipment and the balance 6 crores for the infrastructure that we built. But the infrastructure is such that it can house 3 more machines of the same kind as such. But having said that, the capacity utilization in Tetra Ricard is very low as of now. In the 9 months, we would have reached around 4 to 5 crores of revenue as we speak. But a lot of things are happening and we are hopeful that we might be able to do better in the coming quarters. But till in the 9 months, the actual figure is around 5 plus odd crores is what the number is for the Tetra Ricard.
With respect to the pectin, as we have already said during the call, this year was actually wherein we submitted our actual production to all these large brands who had already accepted our lab run test. And till the point of time they don't make formulation changes, it is not going to translate into commercial revenue for us. But we are hopeful that it should happen in FY27. So, in terms of revenue, it is nothing to speak home about with respect to pectin.
But if you could just give us some color on the type of potential, because in your opportunity column, you have mentioned about pectin is considered as one of the safest food additives. So, if you could just give us some color, what is our the optimum capacity that you will be running the plant, and taking that into account, once the approvals are received, what kind of revenue this unit can exhibit?
So, with a discount to the import parity prices, basically, pectin is actually 350 crore to 400 crore market in India as we speak, and 95% of it is actually imported. And basically, if we were to run our pectin plant on a single run basis, then we can generate around 15 crores of revenue. But that 15 crores would be actually split into 50-50, wherein we would be consolidating only 50% of it because it's a joint venture per se. So on a single shift basis, it can do around 15 crores of revenue, to answer your question. But it's a highly scalable business, basically, because we have more than enough raw materials for pectin as compared to the plant size that we have put up initially.
I just would like to highlight one point. I understand the repeated question on the pectin, because we are talking on this project for a long time. Sir, these are the product is very high-end product. It's not just like a commodity. It's something that, as I just, before that I was talking to in this forum, that to produce, say, 1,000 liters of a juice, this pectin may require only, say, 10 kg. So, you can understand, if anything goes wrong with the product, the 1,000-liter product goes wrong. So, that's why, whenever any change required at the customer end, they will not just change in a month or two or three. They will carry the product, they will do the trial, they will do the consumer testing, and then only brand will change for a new ingredients. So that's the reason it's taking more time. But once it's established, as I told you, the high-end product, once it's approved by any vendor, then quickly they don't change unless there's a substantial commercial benefit to the brands. So we are very, very confident, though it's taking time, but this is a game changer for us, because waste to wealth, what is talking everybody, and we are also in the similar line. Today, we cannot show the revenue generation because it's taking time, but in near future, you will be able to see a significant margin or EBITDA benefit for this product, as well as, good benefits on overall basis. So that's why we are very hopeful, and we believe that it's a very good platform for us to present us to the world market on the circular economy.
Right, sir. And sir, on the Tetra Recard part, sir, if you could just explain to us, therein, sir, we are only doing these boxes, or can you explain what is the scope of work exactly in this part, and we are doing B2B business here in this vertical?
Okay, I may take a little time to explain you since you are asking. So, Tetra Recard, basically a new generation packaging solution alternative to can. We all know in the market can product available. Okay, whether it's a hinge, baked beans or some other products, everything is available. Now, over a period of time, world is trying to get out from the can business. The reason is that it is high probability when you open the can, foreign particle go into the product from the tin. So glass can discard after usage is a big challenge across the world. So Tetra Pak has come with a solution. It's a Tetra recut. It's a similar shelf life, but retention of color and the product test is much, much better than can. Now, in worldwide, this concept is very well accepted. US is having almost 6 machines. Argentina is having 7-8 machines like that. And recently, Sri Lanka also installed one more machine. Now, India, when we bought it and we have tried to work with the many brands, but I think awareness about this whole packaging is taking time. Tetra Pak also jointly working. Meantime, we have changed our focus from India market to export market, where we are seeing that export market already very well aware about this product and easily acceptability. So we are able to gather a momentum which was temporarily paused since we are focusing on domestic market. Now we are getting good traction. We got a large order from US customer, and we are also getting good order from Russia. We are already started repeating order in Europe. Now, your question is whether it's a B2B or B2C. If you tell me it's a private label, so likely to be to B2B for the export market. But we are also trying to explore in B2C in India market, which may be a little slow pace, but first we want to gather our momentum in export market so that we can quickly recover the revenue loss, whatever has happened earlier, we can able to recover. That's all.
And then what have been the revenue booking? How much revenue we have booked as of now? Is it in very nascent stage?
Yes, I think Mr. Anandar told it's around 5 crores so far.
5 crores.
And next year onwards, we are expecting that it can be 5-6x of current volume.
Okay, and so just to add to it, the scope of work is only the job work type that we will be doing, sourcing the material and doing the packaging and the labeling, or what is the exact source of scope of work in this packaging?
We are not doing any job work, sir. Everything is under contract manufacturing for B2B. So it's not a job work. We do not do any job work. So we have to buy the recipe is ours, raw material is ours, everything is ours. And then we'll be manufacturing for them, and in their in customer level in the export market likely to sell. For domestic market is yes, we are looking our own brand.
Okay. So there will be two types of billing. First is the on the material sourcing to the finished product margins, and then the packaging part. So
yes.
That is what the understanding should be.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh. Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, on the frozen food and the spray drying part of the story also, therein also the similar conceptualization is there, sir. When we look at your the frozen food part, it is the sourcing of how it should be just explained to us these two verticals also and the scope that we have currently. I think so. In the spray drying, you have mentioned about a capacity of 1100 metric ton. So, if you could just explain these two verticals also.
Okay. Frozen food is B2B, similar kind of thing. We are, since 1993, we are in frozen food business. So, we are doing private label for export market. Initially started with UK, but now it has expanded to across the globe, like US is a big business. Canada is quite a big business. In Australia, we have started. Now, we are starting Gulf countries also. So it's a pure B2B business. And in India, we have started our own brand called Green Top, but not in a big way. We have started. We are geography, small geography we are considering and trying to concentrating our product in that geography. So it will take a lot of time. But export market is growing in a phenomenal place. So it will be a B2B segment. And spray drying 100% B2B because this is not a final product. This is an ingredient for seasoning. Like any confectionery or any snacks industry, they need the seasoning. Seasoning basically, I'm sure you are having a lot of potato chips. On the potato chips, there is on the top there will be a dressing, a powder type product like Lay's potato chips or Balaji. So that dressing is our product and our product goes for making the seasoning. So it's 100% B2B.
Okay, and here in sir, you have mentioned about robust capacity in place. So, currently, what is the contribution from this segment, and how are when are we expecting to scale up or optimum use of the capacity?
For the Spiridine is 100% capacity we are using, and we are, as you mentioned in the investor note, we are expanding our capacity by 120 metric ton in a year. Construction is already started and likely to complete in another 9 months period. We are going in a slow pace, but we are under discussion and with a strategic, some kind of strategic relationship we are also trying to do with some customers for the further bigger expansion. So it is a small expansion, we are doing it. And if everything goes smooth, then in future we may go for a bigger expansion in this sector.
Okay. And so we are, if you could just mention the name of some of the clients, we are doing business with giants like ITC also. They are also big into this food and all category where you have mentioned.
Major client for us is the PepsiCo. For their Lays, we are supplying. We are also supplying to Unilever for some of their products. We are supplying to ITC. We are supplying to Dabur, Nestle. So a lot of customers. Many, most of the MNCs are, our customer base, if you see, most of the customers are from MNCs. That's a good part of us. In fact, if you see our revenue, 65% of revenue comes from almost 12 MNC companies.
Okay, okay. And sir, can you give me a peer comparison also in the space wherein we can look at the margins comparison and the business profile?
Very difficult.
So the only listed company which is actually there in this place is basically Gen Irrigation, but they have a subsidiary of that company which is called as Gen Farm Fresh. I understand, they are expected to actually list that company separately is what they have actually indicated in the recent investor call and all those things which have happened, but there is no direct numbers that you can actually get from them
because the product baskets are different for everyone. So that's the difficulty.
Okay. Thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir. So our answers are being addressed by Mr. Anand, our CFO, and Mr. Molloy, the Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, also Mr. also is there. He was also contributing as an. So three of us on the call.
It's a team that works at Foodzen, so whether I'm silent, there are people who have to play the silent role as well. But when they're doing well, why bother them?
No, sir. I'm new to the team. So
No problem. Because it was quite an elaborate thing. They have already replied, but as and when, I'm always available.
And you know, Mr. Milan, recently one movie, slighter note, one movie recently came, it's called Silent. The entire 2-hour movie is silent.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. There is no talk, only on in the direction. It's very nice. Sorry.
We can't do that on a call.
No, sir. Thank you for the elaborate answers to this. We'll dig deeper and get further understanding, and we'll get back to the team in case of any further. And all the best, sir. Thank you, sir. And please do continue with the call so that we get an opportunity to participate.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. And all the best to the team. Namaskar, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing remarks.
Thank you so much, guys, for all the questions that you guys actually put forth. We might not have been able to answer all questions basically because some due to competitive reasons, some due to certain reasons at the operational level as such. But having said that, your continued support is of great value to us, and we hope that you will continue supporting us, and we'll hopefully deliver value to you pretty soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.